I'm going to ask you, how many words do you think it takes to change somebody's trajectory in their life? How many words? You think about that for a second. You think about the words that were said in your life or the words that you've heard said to other people. How many does it take to actually change significantly the course of somebody's life? I would suggest you maybe only three words. Now think about that. Only three words can incredibly impact somebody's life for the good or for the bad. You ever heard these three words? You are fired. Some people are like, I don't know if I want to admit that out loud, but yeah, you are fired. Three words changed your trajectory. Listen, I have some friends who have gone through that. They thought things were settled and clear in their career, or they were taking steps forward. Everything was well on their evaluations. And next thing you know, you're fired. That is trajectory changing. But consequently, another three words that'll change it is what? You are hired, right? Well, that's good news. You've been looking for a job. You've been needing a job. You've been trying to get out of the job you're in. You've been interviewing, right? You are hired. Think about three other words. Please forgive me. Every married couple, if you've ever been married, those three words that are important, aren't they? So that's where all the married couples, particularly the men, could have stepped up and said, yes, yes, preacher, preach on, yes. Please forgive me. Three valuable trajectory-changing words. How about three words you'd love to hear after saying that? I forgive you. Three powerful words. Listen, you can go from having a marriage on the rocks to a marriage that's starting to go the right way with those three words on either side of it, right? You can have a severed relationship from an adult child get back on track with those three powerful words. Think about three other powerful words that maybe you've heard. It's a girl, or it's a boy. Never heard the latter on my end. It's a girl. That's all I've had, right? So, but think about these three words that have mattered and have been uttered to us, said to us, and we value it so much. I love you. But then there's three painful words sometimes we hear in life too often. He's gone. She's gone. The idea that somebody has passed away, right? Three words that can change your trajectory so fast. And what you thought you had in the future, what you thought you had in opportunity, is either flourishing or it's going to flounder or disappear entirely. Why? Because of the trajectory just three simple words can give you. My friend, the simplest sentences can redirect your life and my life entirely and leave us wondering what's next or with anticipation about what's next. You've already been hearing about it somewhat this morning, that there's a God in heaven who created all, knows you to your intrinsic nature inside and your motivations and thoughts that you don't even share with other people or other people may not even know. And this God who created you loves you and longs for a relationship with you. And I want to give you three powerful words to help you recognize that. It's going to be on the screen. Matthew chapter number 1. In the book of Matthew, he's recording the life and events of Jesus Christ from his perspective as the Holy Spirit guided him to write and record what was important in his gospel. And here's what he says, quoting an Old Testament verse and promise. This is spoken to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? Three powerful words. What is it? Right? Everybody's going to figure out that. All right, let's say it one more time. Three powerful words. What are they? God with us. Three powerful words that how you respond or accept the meaning and the message and the impact of those three powerful words, it's either going to put you on a trajectory of what God desires and longs for you to enjoy and have in this life and the next, or my response or your response to these three words puts us down another path, one that rejects the God who loves us and wants his best for us. And it puts us down a path, all right, my friends, that maybe one of your own choosing, maybe one where you get to be the king or queen of your own life and existence. But my friends, it puts you down a path of difficulty and frustration. because God never intended you to go down or stay on that path. I want you to think about these three words and how it identifies there's two parties that are estranged and need to be brought together, and there has to be somebody able enough, somebody willing enough, somebody powerful enough to bring those two parties who are estranged back together. That's what we're going to talk about in the multiple times this morning. Everybody heard multiple just now and kind of clinched thinking about lunch plans. I'm on a tight time budget, friends. Don't you worry. First word I want you to think about this. He says, Emmanuel is being interpreted what? God. God. Here, kind of diving into what's going on in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is betrothed to a woman named Mary. Now, their betrothal in their time is a lot more intense than our fiancé time, as it were, our engagement time. I mean, it's not that they will, maybe kind of. It's they are getting married. It's just when, and there's this development there. So he's on the cusp, if we could say it this way, of having a marriage relationship with Mary. And in this time, he receives a dream. The angel of the Lord speaks to him and says in this dream, listen, what's going on with Mary, you don't need to fear. You need to embrace as God doing a miraculous work in and through her life. Well, what's been going on in Mary's life? Well, they have not come together yet in a sexual union, and yet Mary is found to be pregnant. We understand. Biologically, is that possible? No, of course not. But the Lord allowed her to conceive, to have Jesus, the Messiah. And Joseph is trying to figure out how to care for this, not because he's angry, but because he knows how their culture and climate will react to her being unwed and pregnant. And so he's trying to figure out how to do the best thing for her and for him. And the angel interrupts his plans and says, Emmanuel, God with us, is taking place in your midst. And so what did he tell him? Fear not. Have comfort, have confidence in what God is doing in and through your life. So I'm giving you these three trajectory words. God with us is what he told Joseph. Now you might say, why is this dramatic and important for Joseph? Not just due to Mary's unplanned pregnancy, but why does it matter for him? In their time, the religious groups that were out there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were teaching people that the God of the Old Testament was too distant and too far away to be accessed by the commoner like Joseph and Mary or like you and I in our day and time. In the Pharisees group, you had to keep all the rules. You had to live an almost flawless life. You had to be self-righteous to the core. You had to constantly be doing to hope to get God's attention and favor. The Sadducees said, well, you can do some of that, but ultimately it won't matter because there's not much of an afterlife, if any, after this. And so it was kind of a, you got one time through, you better do everything you can for God because otherwise it's going to be really bad in your one time through. So Joseph was used to hearing, God is severe. God is austere. God is mean. God is cruel. God is distant. God doesn't care for you. You better keep on the straight and narrow, or he's coming down from heaven with his lightning bolts to get you. So there's this idea about God, and yet what's being presented to Joseph in this moment is not that idea or picture at all. And I would challenge you today, if you have that kind of picture of God, maybe it was from a difficult upbringing with a mom or dad or a mean old grandma. I don't know. Maybe you had an experience in church or religion and it wasn't good. Maybe you've gone through some moments and times in this life that you're like, if there is a God, I don't know how when this took place or that took place or this person did this or that person did that. And so your idea, your concept or idea of God is even if he's there, I don't want anything to do with him or he would never want anything to do with me. I want to just ask you to be willing to step back for a second and realize these three words tell you otherwise. God with us. If that weren't enough, you could back all the way up to Genesis chapter 1, and it starts off with in the beginning, God. Why would God give us his word and start that way? Because he wanted from the beginning of our understanding about his Bible to realize there is a creator, and that creator is a communicative being to his creation. He's not looking to be absent and idle. He is intended to be involved in his creation's existence. If that weren't enough, he kind of repeats the idea again in John's gospel in chapter number 1. If that weren't enough, he repeats the idea again in Hebrews chapter 1, saying what? There is a God who created you and I. He intends you and I to enjoy and have a relationship with him now and forever, and he is a communicator. He wants you to know that for confidence, security, and clarity. So when we think about Joseph here, and we think about these first three words, or the first of these three words, there is a God. He loves you. He created you. Everything about you and your intricacies and your complexities as a personality, and then just as a human being in the midst of his entire universe, this all-powerful, all-knowing God still loves you and wants you to have a relationship with him personally. My challenge as we close this first thought is this. If you're here today and you think God doesn't want a relationship with you, my hope is, as you hear the songs and you hear the messages from God's word, that you'll realize, no matter how good you may think you are, how bad you may think you are, that has not changed God's desire and design to have a relationship with you now and forever. So three powerful words that can change your life starts with God, your creator. Father, I pray that you'd help us, myself and my friends here, to embrace this reality. You are and you love us. You not only are and you love us, but you desire to change us and have a relationship with you. I pray that you help any of my friends here today who maybe are struggling with that reality for whatever reason, maybe rejecting of that reality for whatever reason, that you'd stir their thoughts even now in the name of Christ. Amen. We're thinking about these three powerful words, and we've already established the first one, God. Now we want to think about the second one, with. When I think about this word and how it can be used, I think about how much fun I have being obnoxious when I go into Costco with my obnoxiously large family. As I start to walk in the door, I usually like to walk a little bit faster than everybody else if we're all together, so I can scan my card now. You should just have to show it. Scan my card, and that way as they're starting to come in, what's the person do if there's a gap? Excuse me, do you have a card? And I usually say, I don't know them. Like, hey, Dad, like, I don't know who these people are. I just keep walking. Now, they look too much alike for the most part for me to diet, so it doesn't work out. So they are with me, and they enjoy the benefit of it. But that word with isn't always positive to be used, is it? Like, in that sense, if you're somebody, it depends on the who and the what, if you're trying to get in somewhere, you want to be with someone, or you want them to be with you. But if you pick up a friend who's just committed a crime, you don't want them with you in the car, do you? Right? Somebody runs by, here, hold this, and the police comes to you. You don't want to be with them in that moment, right? You don't want to have those connotations because of the who and the what. But here's what I want you to consider from our verse. Emmanuel is what? There is someone coming into humanity's existence, and it's going to be God with us, humanity. Someone is joining someone else. And I want you to recognize, in this relationship, it's not a negative trying to find help from a positive. It's somebody with all the ability or the positive coming to people who are only in a negative situation. Here, as we think about this idea of two parties being reconciled together, I want you to think about what's going on here. Joseph is being told God is going to be with us. Not in an esoteric sense, not in the sense if we understand he's a transcendent spiritual being. No, as much as you can turn and see your neighbor right now, God was going to be right there. Literal, tangible, touchable, right there with you. Now, Joseph is trying to take all this in because his betrothed that he trusts, that he loves, is having a baby, and God is having to say, this baby is because of me, and this baby is the promise of all that I've told you in the Old Testament from the beginning of the dawn of human history, when you all messed it up in rebellion and independence and self-rule, when you wrecked it, and remember, I promised you there would be a Messiah who would defeat sin, defeat death, and restore our relationship. Yes, that's happening right now. God with us. Now, who's that have to be? It has to be somebody, according to 1 Timothy 2, who can mediate between the two parties. If you're in business and you're trying to get a deal closed, maybe you need a mediator to help you. Maybe if you're going through a divorce and it's difficult, you usually maybe have to have somebody help mediate those proceedings. When there are two estranged countries, they sometimes need people in between to come to a peace accord, right? Here, you have the God of the universe in his holiness and in his kindness. And on this side of the equation, you have humanity and our rebellion and self-rule to our own rot. And we need somebody who can come between and accomplish what we cannot without sacrificing justice and righteous judgment on this side. So we need a go-between, and that's who Jesus is. That's the God with part of it. Jesus Christ was willing to be our mediator. 1 Timothy 2 says like this, he's the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. 100% God, 100% man, willing and able to accomplish what we desperately needed for relationship to be restored forever with our Creator. This announcement of Christ's birth showed us that all that had been promised is coming to pass. No one else could do it except him. Now, that's a frustration at a level to us as human beings to hear that. I don't know where you're at today, young or old, man or woman, religious, not religious. You believe in Christ. You deny Christ. You don't think you need him. This message of God with is promising, but until we've received it, it's a bit punishing to our thoughts. Why is it punishing to our thoughts? Because we don't know that we need the with. We think we're going to be okay on our own. If there is a God, surely he's going to let me be with him because I'm a pretty good person. I'm moral. I'm kind. I treat my spouse pretty good, considering who they are. I try to do the best for my kids. They're in sports, and I got a 529 college plan for them. Man, at work, I try to be a team player. We all win. It's not just about me and my ambition and my agenda. I want them to win. Of course, I want to raise, but I want them to win. And I'm trying. So overall, I'm a pretty likable guy. I'm a pretty likable lady. I'm a pretty good community member. I give blood. I volunteer at a food pantry occasionally. Human beings, we want, if there is a God, if we're willing to admit that and accept that, we want the with to be us bringing our side of the table to him and him accepting that we are with him, but based on our own thought process and terms. But that's not the message of redemption. If that were the terms of this mediation between humanity and God, we don't need Jesus. We just need ourselves. But if we just need ourselves, could I posit to you that we don't need God at all? We just need humanism as best we could? So really, we just need us with ourselves. And that's what most people who reject Jesus are at. I want a life free from the shackles of a God who exists being right and me being on the wrong side of him. I'd like to, at best, be able to earn my way there, be able to put some stuff on the scale that he'll have to accept. That's the currency he'll take. Or I'd be glad for him not to exist at all, and I can just do my thing in this life. And you know, I don't have answers for everything, but it's going to be okay. Friends, no matter where you're at today, there is the reality spoken in the Scriptures. Our holy, loving Creator God was willing to be with us. You don't have to try to be with him by your own standard or idea. That's going to be failing, isn't it? Think about it as this. If you're here today and you say, I'm a pretty good person, you know, God will accept me and it'll be okay. How many days have you gone perfect living? If there's one person in the room, I've done it. Like, oh, okay. We'd all just look at you and be like, all right, take your meds, right? Okay. Because we know what lurks in our motives, don't we? Listen, you're having a good day maybe today so far, but Monday's coming and work will be there. School's coming, your teachers will be there, right? We know what lurks in our motives. If we think just a little bit, we know this last week when we responded, we said, we did, we didn't, when we should have. It doesn't take a lot of convincing to know you and I are filled with impulses and desires that are self-centered and unthoughtful of other people. There are times we know we have delighted in hurting other people. There's times we know we have done that, which even in our own brain triggers and registers in our conscience that's God-given. That was wrong. That's why we need a mediator, friends. Is there anything I would bring on my with cart to God and try to get him to approve it is still defiled and tainted with sin. I'm doing a really good work, but that work is based in self-righteousness and pride. So it's actually not as righteous as you think it is. I'm a really great person that just oopsies every once in a while. The Bible actually declares the other way. You're a bad person who maybe tries to emulate and get it right a few times. And put it like this. Have you ever seen an apple that looked good and you bit it and found it was not? I had that moment the other day. I bit in what looked like a good apple. I bit in, I looked down, I thought, spit it everywhere. It was not so hot. I was eating with somebody the other day, and he got some strawberries from this buffet we were at, and he went to eat one, and I saw him go, oh, hold on a minute. It was red, looked the right kind of strawberry you want. He's like, whoop, turns around. The middle was black all the way through somehow. I was like, is that chocolate? He goes, nope. So he would start going through all his strawberries. I think that sometimes we get it the wrong way. We think we're this wonderful strawberry that just has a little tiny nick, or an apple that just has that one little spot you need to carve out. It's the opposite. We're rotten on the inside, trying to make the outside look right. We need God with us, because we're not bringing anything to be with him. We need God to exist, because if we want to say there is no need for a God and no need for a with, I'll be with myself, thank you very much, it leaves you in the same desperate situation. My friends, there's not a lot of hope to have in this life except trying to pursue happiness and bliss that, you know it, it just fizzles out so fast. Here Joseph was being told the holy God of the universe was willing to be what? Condescend to humanity, or his rebellious creation, and do what? Be with them. Jesus was going to live amongst his creation. If you've been in church, you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. He would go to be tortured. He would be mutilated. He'd be murdered, not because of any wrongdoing inwardly or outwardly that he had committed. He was being the mediator. Well, you and I deserve the wages, the earning of our sin nature. He took on our behalf to mediate between estranged humanity and holy, righteous God. And so he stepped in to be us. We're going to talk about it here in a second, but the with is so important. I would just challenge you, if you're trying to bring a with you, or you don't think you need a with, today recognize that's not the case. And right now, what's going on in your thoughts is God saying, that's not what you need. There's better and more for you out there today. Well, I'm like 65. It's too late. It's not too late. I'm 37. I've pretty much got it together. You actually don't. And it's not too late. Well, I'm 14, and I don't know if I want to give this kind of a commitment for the rest of my life. Don't wait. Enjoy it now and for the future, all right? Let's watch another video. We'll go on to some more praise. We'll be coming to a conclusion. Final word this morning as we come to a conclusion. You think about what it said. It said, God with us. Maybe think about it like this with me. If you've ever used Google, or you've ever used Yelp to find a review, maybe on like a restaurant, a nail salon, a haircut place for some of you, right? Whatever it is. You look at those reviews, it kind of gives you an idea, hopefully accurately, of what's going on inside there, right? Real people giving honest reviews. I want you to consider for a second. What do you think the Yelp review for humanity would be? Well, 5 out of 5, definitely recommend. You haven't been around too long, have you, right? Let's somebody say, well, you're kind of pessimistic and dour as a person to begin with. Yes, that's true. But just read history. I don't think we're getting 5 of 5. I don't think we can confidently say 4 out of 5. I think you're fooling yourself to say 3 out of 5. Oh, Pastor, all the advances we have made in medicine and what we've done in technology. Have you read how some of those get used regularly by the mass of humanity? I don't think we're 3 out of 5. Well, 2 out of 5. Surely we get 2 out of 5. In America, one of the superpowers still left on Earth, not too many miles from here on the 70 is a major corridor for human trafficking and heroin. Are we really 2 out of 5? In a Christian nation? I don't want to be unkind, but if you think about human history, what's going on overseas right now in different regimes, like with Syria being toppled and everything that's happened over the Assad regime. Some of you veterans remember Desert Storm and the regime there. And let's just start tracking back. I was talking to my daughters the other day about World War II and the atrocities. If you've maybe recently gone to see the Bonhoeffer film, you were reminded afresh of the atrocities in Nazi Germany. We just keep going back. And just the last 100 years doesn't even rank us as 2 of 5, definitely recommend, or maybe. That's why God with us is phenomenal. It is a message of hope. It's a message of joy. It's a message of security. It's a message of confidence about this life and the next. It's a message of clarity that you know you long for in your thoughts and your emotions. My friends, here as we conclude and we think about the glaring issues that are racking up us personally and those around us, I want to conclude just by helping you and I consider these three words are trajectory-changing words for the course of human history, yes, but for you as an individual, or they can be. If you're here today, and maybe you've never been in church at all, I would get you probably have a lot of questions, right? Everybody starts somewhere, and that's okay. If you say, you know what, I came with a friend, I came with a family member, I don't really know anything about this Jesus and God stuff, but I'd like to start a conversation at least, because some of what you're saying I just don't agree with, or I can't stomach, or I don't know. It's kind of ringing a bell a little bit here. Okay, great. Let's start the conversation. Here in a second, we're going to have what our church calls an invitation. It's where we invite you to respond. This isn't an arm-twisting time. It's not the preacher staring you down and asking you to raise hands and make you feel guilty time. No, it's just an opportunity for you, as somebody with free will, with agency, to go out to the foyer where we'll have men and women ready to help you. And they'll sit down privately in a room, just answer some questions, or if you want to set up a time, they'll do that. But it's a time for you to start getting your questions answered about you and Jesus. Maybe you're like, you know what? I mean, I'm familiar with God and Jesus a little bit from church and upbringing, but some of what you've said today really seems to be contrary to what I've heard maybe in the past. That's fine, too. We're not really interested in you adopting the Baptist church a position or opinion, or me as the pontificate Paul Norton, accepting all my words. That really won't help anybody. What does help is just seeing what God said to you himself. And you're going to be at a crossroads, though, friend. A crossroads that every one of us who is a professing follower of Jesus Christ in the room has been at before. I'm either going to keep trying to be the with towards God or think I don't even need a with because there is no God. And you're at this crossroads now of, if that is true, and I am what the Bible declares, a sinner intrinsically just acting it out, then I need a with. The great news is the with has come. He died in your place. He took the wages of your sin. He conquered the death that you're going to face. And he offers you not only forgiveness, but relationship. And not just relationship now, but secured relationship forever. To where you can approach death with confidence that you're going to be with him forever. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done on your behalf. You're not adding to it, friend, and you can't take away from it. If you're here today and you don't want us to have a wonderful relationship with Jesus, today's the day. Start asking some questions or make that choice today, but you are at crossroads. If you're here today as a follower of Jesus, you may be going through some tough time right now. I get Christmas season is awesome for many, but tough for some. It might be tough this year for a variety of reasons I don't know about, but I would remind you that you're not going through it by yourself. If you're a follower of Jesus, the same God who forgave you and delivered you is the same God indwelling you, and he has comfort to comfort the afflicted no matter what you're going through, because he's God with us. He's not with us in the good times and abandoned us in the bad. He is equally as with us through every trying, taxing, ugly moment of your life here on this earth, due to the curse of sin being acted out around us, upon us, and through us. So today, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're like, man, I just need some time to pray, we're going to give you that time in the invitation. Take some time and just go back to God. Maybe you want to go to one of your brothers or sisters in the room and ask them to pray with you. They'd love to do that. Is that a little awkward sometimes? Well, sure. Sure. But that's why God gave us one another as well. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. As I pray, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to have some music play. And if you want to talk about Jesus while I'm praying, don't be bashful. Walk right out. Did the pastor just say we could leave? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You can walk right out as I pray, because we want you to start that conversation. Even if it's just setting up an appointment, let's make that happen today. So as you're standing, I'm going to pray, and let's go forward in the invitation. God, thank you that you are good all the time. Thank you for the truths we've heard in song. Thank you for all the people who have stepped out and of their comfort zone and been inconvenienced to practice so that they could sing your glorious truths and play your truths here today to us. Thank you. Thank you for your word. I do pray for any friends today, man or woman, old or young, who today is like, I don't know what it is to have God with me. Would you stoke their thoughts and help them to take that bold, difficult first step, and may they go out. May not worry about what somebody might ask or somebody might say or what somebody might think. Help that person who needs to take that step to do it now. Help them to release what they've been holding on to for all these years, perhaps. And may that man, that woman, that dad, that mom, that grandma, that daughter, may they take that step right now. Help them. Then, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters and the family of God today, even members here at this church, that we have to be reminded you're with us. We may openly profess you've forgiven us, and we know that to be true, but, God, sometimes the painful reality here on earth makes us wonder, man, God, where are you? So may be reminded that the God who is willing to transcend all but condescend to all has not abandoned them in their time of need and frustration. May they look to you in faith and find your real peace and comfort even today. May they find that with a brother or sister helping them as well. We ask you to do your work in a way we cannot. In the name of Jesus, amen.